Five Things First Thing with JR Morning's Guy Gordon, Lloyd Jackson, and Jamie Edmonds.
Good morning, everybody. April 25th, the day is finally here, the long-awaited day of the NFL draft. We are 13 hours and 55 minutes away from the first pick, but it is already zeros on the clock for Detroit. The welcome mat is out, the red carpet. Downtown has never looked better. I'm joined by Lloyd Jackson, who's wearing his Detroit Lions touchdown gloves.
Yes.
Which you need today. And I think this is Jamie Edmonds, though it could be Nanook from the north.
You guys, it's cold out here and it's radio. No one needs to know what I'm wearing.
But you are a fashion plate. You look very fashionable and practical,
good.
Too, I might add. But am I wrong that between the lights, the new signage, downtown Detroit is ready?
It really looks good. You know, all of the hard work, all of the planning that's been done over the last couple of years has come to fruition today, and it shows. It is really beautiful downtown, and for all of you who are coming from out of town into the city of Detroit, welcome to Detroit.
We are so happy you're here, and we are also, for the moment, the next 3 days, the football capital of the universe.
Yes, we are.
Oh, 100%. This is bigger than the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is now this corporate entity, and it's only about two teams. This is about every team in the NFL, and what is bigger than the NFL? Nothing.
No.
Right.
No. And within our view, we're a kitty corner from the townhouse, so if you're coming downtown to go to work, we're at Woodward and Congress. Wave, say hi. We'll blow kisses back. But we've also got these giant video screens where folks are going to be able to watch the draft live. Mm-hmm. We do want to caution people, you're going to need the NFL One Pass to get in.
Yes, mm-hmm. Please download that.
Don't treat this like a tailgate and drag your cooler down here. They got the NFL clear bag policy in effect. So what you bring is quite limited.
Right, but once you get into the footprint with your One Pass, you can go to a lot of cool activations and spots, and it's sprawling.
And you can plan your trip, you can plan your transportation, you can know where to go, all of that on that One Pass app.
Plan your transportation, because
that's big.
There's no
Maybe
parking
Uber.
Down here for us mere mortals. Yes, the queue line.
Shuttle, everything.
And the People Mover will be running continuously. We're going to get an update on that from the Detroit Transportation Corporation a little bit later on in the show. But, yes, if you're a visitor, we couldn't be happier that you're here. I've already got a little in front of us is all this beautiful bunting and messaging for the NFL. But I got some guy in a cowboy hat with the term America's team. I'm already going to take issue with that. Because I think at the end of the last season, there was a new America's team.
It was.
And they were dressed in Honolulu blue and silver.
I agree. The Lions, really, the whole country sort of approached the Lions and took them under their wing. And I don't think it's the Cowboys right now, for sure.
And we're all excited for the Lions to continue what they started last year.
Yeah.
And there were some big signings and some other things going on as well. So I'm just looking forward to those guys.
Yeah, maybe Brad Holmes made a splash a little early by signing Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell for these giant, giant contracts, you guys. Over $100 million for both of these guys, four-year deals. Sewell's deal pays him for $40 million into 2026. St. Brown's deal includes $77 million guaranteed. He's now the highest-paid receiver in the league, as is Sewell at his position. So here's a theory. Brad Holmes made his splash the day before, and they may trade out of the first round tonight. That's just a guess.
That's kind of a speculation. All right. We'll see what it brings. Again, it's going to be a lot longer for Lions fans than for the rest of the world when we get to pick 29. Getting quickly to the headlines of the day, Hirsch Goldberg Pollan. He was the 23-year-old Israeli-American. We saw him taken hostage on October 7th. His arm had been blown off by a Hamas grenade. We finally saw him. He is alive. His family saw him in this video. The video, this is a haunted young man now. This is not the happy young man that we have seen in videos. It was a pro-ceasefire message. We don't know what kind of duress he was under when making that that address. We did hear from his family, John Pollan and his wife, addressing the nation. Yes, they're happy to see their son alive, but they're deeply, deeply concerned. Cut 12.
We're here today with a plea to all members of the parties who have been negotiating to date. That includes Qatar, Egypt, the United States, Hamas, and Israel. Be brave, lean in, seize this moment, and get a deal done to reunite all of us with our loved ones and to end the suffering in this region.
I hope the concern is as high for him on the campuses across America where the more radical element is camping out uttering Hamas slogans.
Yeah, and you know, Guy, it got bigger. Pro-Palestinian protests got bigger with nearly 100 people arrested at the University of Southern California, dozens arrested at UT Austin. And of course, this all started at Columbia University. That's the epicenter, and that's where Speaker of the House Mike Johnson went yesterday. And he said to a large crowd, cut seven, just end this.
I am here today joining my colleagues and calling on President Shafiq to resign if she cannot immediately bring order to this chaos.
And you know, the Jewish students on these campuses are feeling left out. They're feeling like they're unsafe. And Johnson also said in cut six that, you know, people are standing with you as well.
I'm here to proclaim to all those who gnash their teeth and demand to wipe the state of Israel off the map and attack our innocent Jewish students this simple truth. Neither Israel nor these Jewish students on this campus will ever stand alone.
There's a broad spectrum of protester there. There's a conventional protester that's a peace protester.
Right.
That's a pro-Palestinian protester.
Yes.
That wants a homeland for the Palestinian people. But then this ugliness has emerged.
The agitators.
In the past couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, like, you're allowed to peacefully protest, but as we had a free speech expert on just yesterday saying, you're not allowed to block entrances. You're not allowed to stop the business of the university.
That's right.
Disruption.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did see a social media post where there was flyers being handed out at the University of Michigan proclaiming the need for a free Palestinian state and saying, for Palestine to be free, America must die. That's unacceptable,
it
too.
Is.
And if
yeah.
you feel that, we've got a plane waiting for you at Metro.
Right.
Yes.
But and in the meantime, we've also got a very solemn vigil. And in a kind of a quirk of fate, we met the man organizing it here downtown.
Yeah, yesterday. And so there is a vigil being set up for the families of those that were injured in that horrific crash that in that boating house.
The boathouse, yeah.
In Monroe County on Saturday. It is happening. It's for the victims. It's for their families. It's for first responders. And it's a prayer for the community. It's going to happen on tomorrow, April 26th, 7 p.m. It will be at the Swan Creek Boat Club, rain or shine. And that's at 6332 Beauchamp Road in Newport. Also, there is a spaghetti dinner fundraiser on May 19th. At Fireman's Park in Newport, the club expressed gratitude for the community's overwhelming support. Basket donations, gift cards, and more are welcome for raffles, with the event also honoring first responders. Now, as you know, the tragedy has prompted multiple fundraising efforts, including GoFundMe campaigns to aid with the funerals and medical expenses and therapy. Among the injured, Crystal Miller's 14-year-old son, who suffered critical injuries, and Diane Medina, who sustained serious injuries requiring surgery. Updates on survivors' conditions and plans for arrangements are underway, with the community rallying together to support those affected by the incident. Once again, that candlelight vigil tomorrow, 7 p.m., at Swan Creek Boat Club in Newport.
These wounds are so deep, and if there was ever a community that needed loving arms and prayers, it's that one.
Yes.
And that family. Oh, my God. There is, we will be giving you the latest on that. We'll keep you updated. But do spread that message on social media when you see it about this vigil.
Yes.
When we come back, how are we doing? We know Kansas City had a great turnout for their NFL draft event. How many downloads have we seen of the NFL One Pass for Detroit? We'll get the latest from the main host. He is Claude Molinari, President and CEO of Visit Detroit. That's when JR Morning continues at 6:19.
Good morning from the NFL draft. The sun is rising over the buildings as we speak. It's a little chilly, but I think it's going to warm up and just be a perfect day for fans on this first day. And Claude Molinari, president and CEO of Visit Detroit, is on the phone. And when you looked at the weather forecast, you must have been like, thank you.
Oh, no doubt, champion. This is like a dream come true, because yesterday it was pretty chilly. So today I'm really excited that we're going to have much better weather.
It's clear and it's dry.
Exactly.
Claude.
Yes.
I mean,
no
it's,
precipitation.
It's a,
that's right.
Bluebird morning.
Yes, and we're going to have some sun today, and it's really exciting because it's the opening of the draft, and, you know, Hart Plaza is going to be filled with people interacting in the NFL fan zone. It's going to be great.
First question for you. I heard that the download numbers for the One Pass, which is people intending to come down here, are just enormous.
Yes, it's really been a very well-received event. The NFL One Pass download has really been off the chain here, and then we encourage everybody to continue to fill that up. We want to set a record here in Detroit, but you know, I would suggest everyone go to visitdetroit.com, have a plan, consider using mass transit, and be flexible and patient today, because we're going to have a lot of people depending upon the city.
Claude, you know, when the Super Bowl 40 was here back in 2006, you know, Detroit was on the national stage. But I really look at this as kind of like Detroit's coming out party, because it is so much different now than it was then. And it just looks wonderful down here in the city.
Oh, there's no question about it. I think that, you know, the whole downtown has completely changed. I mean, Woodward Avenue and all of the stores and the restaurants and the attractions that are there now. And again, you know, I think that people are going to enjoy the fact that not only is it downtown, but it's Greektown, Eastern Market, District Detroit, Draft in the D, Corktown. We've got all these exciting areas all jazzed up and ready to go with attractions and startups. So we're very excited about what's going to happen.
The entire city downtown, each side of the street is wrapped in these beautiful graphic arts depictions of football, past, present, future. And we should point out there's some great sponsors down here: Bud Light, Lowe's, Rocket Mortgage, Verizon, Visa. You've had some great corporate partners in this.
Oh, it's been so critical. You know, we could not have hosted this event without our philanthropic and our business partners who have really stepped up and embraced this. And I think they're feeling the same, you know, vibe that Detroit is really coming out. And this is our ability, you know, using the NFL draft as a platform to really showcase just how amazing Detroit, Southeast Michigan, and the state of Michigan is. And I think this is going to have a lasting legacy.
Claude, after all the planning, the years of planning, where will you be enjoying this draft?
I'm going to be all over the place. You know, I'm going to – every focus of this city from, you know, all the places I already mentioned, I'm going to be visiting. I'll certainly be at the draft stage area tonight, maybe, you know, enjoying the crowd. And really, you know, it's 3 days of super fun, and I think that Saturday also is really going to be – a great family day. You know, we're hoping that people really take advantage of, you know, all 3 days. And certainly, you know, tonight is going to be electric with the first round. Tomorrow is going to be really exciting with the next rounds of picks. And then Saturday, I think, is going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be 70-odd degrees out there.
Right.
And I think that's a great day to, you know, bring your family down and really enjoy all the things that you know, this event has to offer.
Claude, I don't know how much your phone has been ringing, but I believe you expect it to really start ringing once this is done and people see Detroit on that national stage and people talk about Detroit when they leave here, how wonderful it is. I'm sure we want to get more big events like this, and I'm sure your phone is going to be ringing off the hook.
Well, you know, we've been really getting a lot of interest ever since the National Football League put their stamp on us. I think that that's been extremely exciting for us. And, you know, somebody had just recently, what are you going to do after the draft? And I said, we've got 60 RFPs in some form or of you know, closing right now. So we're excited about what's going on. And I think that Detroit is reintroducing ourselves on a big stage. And I think that with the drone shots and all the overhead and 60 million people watching on TV, I think a lot of people are going to have to change their perception of our city, our region, and our state.
I just am we've been talking about it, but now that I saw it yesterday, just the footprint, it's not just downtown. It's Hart Plaza. I was at the corner ballpark yesterday, and, you know, all NFL people were over there as well. It's all over town.
Well, no doubt. And, you know, Columbia Street has an activation. Beacon Park has an activation. Monroe Street has an activation. Eastern Market. I could just go on. I mean, there's so many exciting things about this. And really, it's almost like a giant block party that goes over, you know, 100 blocks. And we're so, you know, I guess, I can't stop saying the word excited. But, you know, I think our team has really leaned in on making sure that this is an inclusive event for everybody. And if you're, you know, tonight is going to be very similar to, like, the ball dropping on Times Square on New Year's Eve in New York, where there's going to be a huge crowd, you know, in Campus Martius and Cadillac Square. But, you know, if you're just a little bit on the outside of that, we're still having video boards and audio, you know, all around the city. So wherever you are, you're not far away from, you know, being right as part of the experience.
Well, this is also an amazing opportunity for homegrown Detroit businesses as well. Yesterday we ran into a wonderful man, a Yemeni man who has Shabam Coffee.
Yeah.
He's going to be having a spot down here for the love of cheesecake. I mean, and wherever you look, you know, it used to be you had to look hard to find a place to have a meal in downtown Detroit. Now it's like the United Nations of ethnic food.
It is.
That is such a great point. More than 60 Detroit businesses have contracts with the National Football League on this event. Everything from decor to food and beverage to furniture rental to, you know, there's just all levels of interaction and involvement with local Detroiters. And we really appreciate that the National Football League has been so open to doing business, you know, with smaller vendors who are, you know, put on a platform that maybe they've never seen before. And again, I think that having a living legacy where we're going to be leaving $1 million of investment in literacy and active play for students is also just another cherry on the top of what has been a spectacular event. And we're just about to start it today.
Well, you're right. It is a platform, but more than a platform, I think it's a launching pad for these local businesses, for the city, for Detroiters that want to re-experience their hometown. This is the opportunity of a lifetime. Claude, we thank you so much for what you've done.
Yeah, Claude, I mean, after all of the planning, all of the hard work, hundreds of people have put this together. Congratulations in advance.
Job well done.
Thank you so much. And you're right, though. It has been hundreds and thousands of people working on this, and you know, certainly I'm a small part of a very big project.
Claude Molinari, President and CEO of Visit Detroit, thank you for your time. Coming up live from downtown Detroit, we're going to be talking about the economic benefit. It's not just about X's and O's and draft prospects. It's about economic benefit for our town. That's next on JR Morning.
And a good morning to all the visitors that are here for the NFL draft. And for Detroiters, there will be some minor inconveniences when you come downtown, but it's the sacrifice we're making to reinvent and really reintroduce ourselves to the world. To our right, guys, we see the river and Hart Plaza and all the big digital displays that are down there. As we look down Woodward, everything is festooned with everything football. Everywhere you look, it's an homage to the NFL. And then in the windows of One Campus Martius, we see the pink glow of a glorious cloud-free dawn.
Yes. Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
It's a pretty nice backdrop to do business in. And there will be a lot of business done as both the guests arrive, but also the corporate entities that will be entertaining and doing business here. And you can bet that wherever there are economic drivers, not far behind Quentin Messer, the CEO and Economic Competitiveness Officer for the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, will be there giving his best pitch for the state of Michigan. Quentin, good morning.
That's a better than us.
Yes, nobody has it better than us. And while it's a bit, the Irish have a great saying, on mornings like this. It's fresh.
Well, it's super
real
fresh.
It's really fresh this morning.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Exactly. It doesn't get any fresher than this either. You know, I've seen you in Montreal. I've seen you in Las Vegas at CES. And I'm always happy because I know that you're bringing jobs to Michigan. What kind of an opportunity does this event provide for you and your team?
Well, I think you said it best. I mean, this is a chance for us to reintroduce ourselves. A lot of people are not aware of all the wonderful things that are happening. I think increasingly you talk about looking at Hart Plaza. I think a lot of people are not aware that we are the closest major city in Canada. So we are truly an international market. And I think, finally, I think people get a sense by seeing all the nameplates, the companies that are sponsors, how diversified our economy is. I mean, yes, we are still the state, the city that put the world on wheels, but we're so much more, and I think people are going to see that. I'm excited. A lot of folks are already streaming in, so it's going to be a wonderful opportunity for us.
And, you know, Quentin, it's, you know, around the holiday time, you know, people, a lot of restaurants and companies, they do well during the holidays and all of that. I'm really thinking about the small businesses. This is like Christmas for them. A lot of the small businesses who have started up, who are going to be part of this NFL draft day downtown.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think the other thing that the host committee did incredibly well was to ensure that there are opportunities for folks to go beyond the downtown core and out into the neighborhood. So kudos to the NFL. Kudos to Claude Molinari, Alexis Wiley, you know, Mayor Duggan, Governor Whitmer, and all that sort of made sure that all of Detroit, all of Southeast Michigan, and all of Michigan get an opportunity. So you're absolutely right. This is like 3 days of Christmas shopping for many of our small business and retailers.
Quentin, what about jobs? I mean, someone had to build the stage. Someone had to put this bunting up. I mean, do you have numbers of just jobs created?
You know, I think that's a great question. We typically, after these events happen, there is a third-party independent analysis of the number of jobs. And what you're trying to really determine are the number of permanent jobs and the number of temporary jobs. But you're absolutely right. You know, hundreds of jobs. And what the importance of that is, you're getting more and more money in your local economy. And when money circulates, and if it circulates with great speed, and you know that, you get advertising dollars to support great programming like yours. And so we're very excited. And this sets the stage for future events. And I know that the team in Detroit are working with us and others elsewhere in the state to even get bigger events like this in the future.
Quentin, just taking a wider lens to this in terms of economic development opportunities, I know there's site prep underway up in Flint for a mega purchase of some kind up there. Where are the mother loads of jobs in the future? Give me an idea what might be going there.
So, I mean, if I did, I would have to kill myself because
we don't have NDAs here, my friend.
right.
It's just us.
That's it. Nobody else. Just tell us.
Yeah, just a few good friends. But no, I think that a couple of things. One, you know, you can imagine there are a lot of large advanced manufacturers, high-tech manufacturers across a number of different sectors, from mobility to aerospace and defense to clean tech to semiconductors, who are looking at that and other opportunities across the state. And then we also are really focused on developing our entrepreneurial and innovation ecosystem, making sure that the next company that becomes NVIDIA or becomes the next, you know, trillion-dollar market cap company could be a Michigan company, and we want to create the environment that they might eventually use at site. So, you know, there are a number of opportunities. We're competing aggressively as part of our Make It in Michigan economic development strategy, focused on people, places, and projects. And you got to be prepared because you never know who's looking at you.
Has this just been a great time for entrepreneurship, Quentin? I know maybe during the pandemic, a lot of people tried to start their own business because, you know, they left work, you know.
Yeah.
But it has to be really big right now.
No, you're right. I mean, you have a lot of people who – Michigan has always been a state of great risk takers. People are willing to go out and solve a problem. And that's what a great business is. A great business isn't trying to make money. You're trying to solve a problem, and then you develop the commercial application for it. And that's what Michiganders have always been. I think Detroiters, that grit, that hustle, that resiliency. And you're seeing a lot of people begin to say, hey, let's, you know, pop up. And, you know, these pop-up retail opportunities are a case in point. Let's proof of concept first before we expand. So I think you're seeing a wiser group of entrepreneurs, and that's why they're having more endurance. So.
Yeah, Quint, we just got our first look at some of the visitors that have come out from their hotel rooms.
I see Giants. I see Cincinnati Bengal fans.
Yeah, and the Bengal fans are in short sleeves.
they should know better. It's cold in Cincinnati, too.
These Buckeyes have got no sense.
It's my understanding, though, that we learned this yesterday, that not everyone can get in the draft theater, but they're standing room only. And I think they might be getting their spot.
They could be staking out, yeah. Staking
yeah.
their claim
at 6:42 a.m.
Hey, the early bird gets the worm, right?
Well, that's true in your business, and apparently in theirs
fandom
as well. Just in terms of, I can't imagine what your phone looks like in terms of meetings and you know, drive-bys. Just give us a sense of where you're going to be today, Quint.
So we've got a couple of panels. One is actually on entrepreneurship, where Charles Harris of the Lions is going to be a participant, making sure that NFL athletes who are becoming more and more entrepreneurial, thinking about how to prepare themselves for their playing days. So he's going to be leading a panel. I'll be doing that. I've got a couple of meetings with companies who are looking at Metro Detroit, looking at all of Michigan. And then, you know, I'll be floating around supporting the governor, supporting Mayor Duggan, and supporting the entire Team Michigan. So, playing wherever needed.
Can I just say that yesterday, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penny Sewell together signed deals worth $230 million? That might be a good place to start.
That's some economic development.
There you go.
Absolutely.
I think you got some entrepreneurs right there. Quint Messer, best of luck as you plant these seeds for future growth in the state of Michigan.
I'm so always grateful for the opportunity to talk to you. Everyone stay safe, and the Lions will be Super Bowl champs, so we'll be in 32nd next year.
From your lips to the football god's ears. Quint Messer, thanks so much. Enjoy the day.
Thank you. Be safe.
When we come back, 6:49 on JR Morning, we'll talk transit. That will be perhaps the most important decision you make if you're coming downtown to enjoy day one of the NFL draft. You're on WJR.
As the city of Detroit welcomes visitors to the NFL draft festivities here in downtown Detroit on this chilly morning, a collaborative effort has been underway for months to ensure a seamless experience for everyone. Mayor Mike Duggan, alongside city officials and transit partners, recently unveiled a meticulous preparation aimed at facilitating safe, enjoyable, and convenient travel for folks who come downtown for the draft. And among those key players in the effort, our next guest, Robert Kramer. He's general manager of the Detroit Transportation Corporation and the Detroit People Mover. Robert, good morning.
Good morning.
You guys have a lot of partners, and it took a lot of partners to really bring all of this together. Talk about the things, the measures that you guys have done to ensure this smooth and efficient transportation throughout the city.
Well, sure. You know, there's been that cool countdown clock downtown, counting down the days to the draft. And obviously that was to get people excited and focused and on the transit side and really across all the city departments, law enforcement agencies. There's just been a lot of great collaboration for months now, really focusing on ways that we can make, as you said, just the experience a good one, smooth, safe. So we've got the People Mover. You know, we've got some pretty unique design, but this is certainly an event that we are really well designed for, up with some great views of what's going on downtown, but also kind of can stay above all of the congestion and the traffic and really help people get around the downtown. So as you're coming in, you can use a smart DDOT, the Q line, there's fan shuttles, there's parking lots on the perimeter of the downtown area. And once you get that, you can use a People Mover to get not only into the footprint, but as the mayor had mentioned, if the footprint starts to fill up, or if you're just looking for a different experience, there are five other parks around the downtown, kind of on the north side, that also are going to have some great and fun experiences too.
Robert, can I just say that Lloyd and I did notice something that that was missing from the People Mover.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you're aware of this. Perhaps you are, but that annoying squeak that when it comes around a turn that we've come to know and love is gone. Did you find a reserve of WD-40 somewhere? What the heck happened? It sounds like it's running much smoother than it has in years.
Well, I very much appreciate you noticing. It doesn't happen too often, but every so often we actually have a specialized machine we put up on the track that kind of grinds down some of the corrugation, which is really what makes that noise.
Okay.
So we did that. We did that actually last fall, and we will now going forward be able to do that a little bit more frequently. But it's also about just since we reopened after the pandemic, really just focusing on getting the trains in great shape. And so that's just really what you've noticed is the result of some great hard work from the staff, maintenance folks, and really everyone at the People Mover.
Well, it was just one of those little touches that we noticed that makes a difference to the overall experience.
Well, we really appreciate it. And you'll also notice some great things at the stations. We've got some screens now.
Yes.
We just outdoor TV screens that are going to tell you when the next train's arriving, what the hours are, kind of give a little bit extra pop to it, and some cool interactive kiosks as well. So you can, as you're at the street level, if you're waiting for the train, which is comes every 5 minutes, so you won't have a lot of time to use it, but you can use the kiosk to learn about all the great things, restaurants, services, entertainment around the downtown.
Robert, you were mentioning there are parking lots outside of the city, and then you can find your way to the People Mover and then to the Footprint. What if someone hasn't used the People Mover or come down in a while? Do you have a route that someone could take?
Well, there's a lot of options. The peoplemover.com is our website, and that can give people a lot of information ahead of time if they want to kind of plan out their journey. The outside in the suburbs, Smart Bus has a number of park and ride lots, and if you go to one of those lots, the lots are free of charge. The bus is just $2. If you use those lots, it'll actually take you right to a People Mover station, and once you're there, like I said, there's plenty of information and signage to get you where you need to go. There's also some lots up in the New Center area. If you go look at the queue line, where you can hop on the queue line, you take that down to Little Caesars, and from there, the People Mover is just a block or two away. And then there's also some Fanshawe. So really, all of the options that are out there, if you look, will get you right to a People Mover station, and then from there, you're really on your way.
You know, they call this the two destination area here, and given the international nature of the draft, have you been working closely with those in Windsor who to make sure they have some seamless travel when they come over from across the border?
Yeah, absolutely. So Transit Windsor, which is their Windsor's transit provider, obviously, and the tunnel have been part of that team I mentioned. They've been working for months on this. And I actually talked to a couple of gentlemen who had flown into the airport in Detroit. The RTA has the new DAX Express bus, so they had taken that from the airport to the People Mover. And then from there, they were going to the foot of the tunnel is where you catch the tunnel bus over to Windsor, because they were staying there tonight, or last night, really, to get ready for the draft. So they're well-coordinated. If you are staying in Windsor or coming from Windsor, you can take the tunnel bus, and it will drop you right at the foot of the tunnel where you can either get on the People Mover, the Millinder Center station. There's also one of the big entrances to the draft Footprint is right there as well. So very convenient if you're coming from Windsor.
Robert, we're more than a year into the regional transit tax. We know that the partnership with SMART, that they've expanded the number of stops they make, the number of communities they serve. What has that done for DDOT and just the overall ridership?
Well, I would say, you know, the more support you have for transit and the better service you can provide, that's really what makes it a greater benefit. It might sound a little bit counterintuitive, but when you have service that is convenient and more attractive, that's actually a way to make the transit really a more viable option. And then that can have some other benefits as well. So, you know, as far as for DDOT goes, when you have more and better service that's connecting to and from the city, that's going to make the system more beneficial for everyone.
And I know it's kind of an unfair comparison, because after the pandemic, hybrid work kind of came in, which changed the pattern of ridership, right?
Yeah, and actually, it's been an interesting challenge at the People Mover. You know, obviously, the downtown primarily for many years has been an office district. But I think, you know, and again, something the mayor's really been emphasizing, as we've seen more and more downtown residents, it's becoming more not just an office district but a neighborhood. So at the People Mover, we're really seeing some pretty significant ridership increases because this year we're fare free all year. We've got our sponsor Priority right. Waste. Who have made us fare free. So we've actually seen over double our ridership. We'll increase 120% over last year. And at that rate, we're planning to exceed our pre-pandemic ridership probably either later this year or next year. And it's not because of the Monday through Friday. It's really about the 7 days a week cycle. Saturdays and Sundays are really heavy because not only are the, you know, big arena concerts, there's yoga in the park, there's services, restaurants. It's really become a very different neighborhood and activity center downtown. And that's, you know, the People Movers really, I think so far, we've done a great job of kind of keeping up with that change.
All right. Robert Kramer, General Manager of the Detroit Transportation Corporation and Detroit People Mover, thank you so much for being here this morning.
You know, in a couple of hours, we're going to need sunglasses.
Yes.
Here. Look at one campus, Marcius. The sun is all over the facade.
Not a cloud in the sky.
No. A buck to the first person that finds a cloud anywhere. It is a bluebird day in downtown Detroit. But, yes, we've had a little, what is it that Ashley Barris, he calls it, a little heat evaporation, which is a nice word.
That's a nice way to put it.
You're going
to
freeze your keister when you come down here. But it is going to improve. We'll be in the mid-50s by the time the first pick is made. That will be about 12 hours, 55 minutes from now. If you are new to the city, welcome. We couldn't be happier to have you here.
It's a beautiful day in Detroit. It is bigger than a Super Bowl because it's every team involved. We've already seen fans walking down Woodward, yes, trying to stake out their spot so they could see the stage. And, man, kudos to those people because it's 7 in the morning.
And the downtown is looking wonderful. The shops, the stores, the small businesses who are going to really benefit from this NFL draft.
We've got Corktown that's alive. We've got the Madison District, Monroe District, Grand Circus Park, Paradise Valley.
Eastern Market.
Every, you know, you name a landmark and there's an activation or something going on there. Michigan and Trumbull. The
corner ballpark there.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, so what was your favorite? We went to the NFL experience. We went to the Detroit Lions experience. Lloyd and I opted out of the 40-yard dash. At the insistence of our hamstrings and Achilles.
And our Achilles.
but we did have fun at the Lions experience.
Yeah.
The Lions experience was great. I think it was really fun to do a touchdown catch, and they take your picture, and you could take that home. I think that's
your
fun.
Own highlight. Make your own highlight.
Yeah, right. I thought that was
great.
In the
fastest hands, you know, those fast hands where you had to hit the lights.
Like a giant game of whack-a-mole, but you're supposed to be like an offensive lineman, and you're blocking the hands of any defender that's trying to get to your QB. That was fun. You know, there is the Dan Campbell fortune-telling booth where an animatronic Dan Campbell will, I guess, tell you your future.
I love the movie Big. It kind of looked like that.
Could it be any could Dan's representation be any cheesier?
That's what makes it great.
That's what makes it great.
Yeah.
And then you walk to Hart Plaza to the NFL experience. You could see every Super Bowl ring from the beginning. I thought that was cool.
And somebody was really close to the Pittsburgh rings.
I took a picture of all six of them, if that's what you're asking.
Was I out of line to check your pockets?
There's heavy security over there. Okay, guys.
We should say that every lamppost down here on Woodward Avenue has got some kind of bunting representing every NFL team. And, of course, the lamppost that we're under here, could we have had
it's
a Lions?
It's like they knew I was going to be here because the Steel City is right by me.
Yeah, so your Pittsburgh Steelers are wrapped
close to my
well
heart.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were saying earlier when we were on break is that there are improvements that were made to welcome these guests in. But they're permanent improvements that all Detroiters can enjoy. For instance, in front of us, signage where there are 10 different landmarks posted there to tell you where they are. That's a nice addition. I wish we'd had that years ago, but we're getting it because of the draft, and it's going to be something that will help all of us find our way around town.
And the fountain that they fixed.
The Dodge Fountain. It's actually got water in it.
And who knew? Colored water. You know, there's different colors that come out as well.
Well, and that there's that. And how soon until somebody decides to make it a hot tub there?
I don't think the water is that hot. Yeah. Well, if you've had a few, you won't care
at all. Very interesting day coming up, especially in Washington, D.C., where the former president of the United States and his attorneys, at least, will plead his argument that these, what he sees as partisan prosecutions of him, that he is immune to those, that he is granted immunity under the Constitution. Look, Jack Smith believes that he should face and have no more immunity than the average U.S. citizen. He's wrong. Former President Trump thinks he has absolute immunity. He's wrong. The Founding Fathers never intended for the position of the presidency to be a monarchy where you are above the law. To the other side of it, it is a unique position where you need the freedom to do things and to lead, and you can't have a partisan prosecutor looking over your shoulder every time you do them. So finding that proper balance in a very difficult time is going to be a tall order for these justices.
Yeah, and Donald Trump continues to bring these cases to the Supreme Court, which is a delicate balance, which is a line they have to, you know, walk, and they have many decisions to make.
It's going to be interesting. I think one really good point to be made is we tend to only look at this through the lens of Trump and the Mar-a-Lago document case and the election interference case. It's about more than that. It's about what the presidency will be subjected to going forward. So it's not just about Trump. It's about future presidents as well.
And when you talk about Justice Thomas as well, a lot of people have asked that maybe he should step away from this, recuse himself because of his wife and some of the involvement she's been in when it comes to the 2020 election.
An interesting question. I think he has already answered it for us. He will be in robes today for those opening arguments. But it is an interesting question that when you have a politically active spouse.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to wait and see what these justices decide. Again, multiple cases in front of them, and they'll hear oral arguments when it comes to the immunity case later on this morning.
Well, the former president is going to be here next week. He's going to be in Michigan next week amid those ongoing legal battles and political maneuvering. The event set for May 1st at the Saginaw County Airport Hangar in Freeland will be open to the public, though tickets are required. Trump's visit comes amidst a trial in New York over those allegations of election fraud in 2016 and continued speculation regarding his actions during the 2020 election. Michigan, a key swing state, remaining a focal point for both parties. Trump's last visit to the state saw him making some controversial claims about immigration and the auto industry. Meanwhile, recent polls indicating a tightening race between Trump and President Biden in Michigan. Biden has also made several visits to the state this year, emphasizing key swing areas like Saginaw. Trump's upcoming rally is signaling continued engagement in Michigan's political landscape and with some implications for the upcoming elections. Michigan is a big player, and this won't be the last time we see either of those candidates here in Michigan.
Well, and this race is tightening. I mean, Trump had a 10-point lead at one time, then it was down to 5. Now a new poll from Morning Consult showed Biden leading by 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
So it's well within the margin of error, basically a dead heat. How many stars do we have here for this NFL draft?
Well, there are 13 prospects here in person, and yesterday they were at the Corner Ballpark doing a wonderful event through the NFL in which they played some flag football with some Special Olympics athletes.
That's great.
And I find that to be just so heartwarming.
Charming.
That their lives are about to change in a very big way, but they spent some time with some kids. And, you know, I thought, why don't we hear from the guy who's supposed to go number one overall to the Bears, what he had to say yesterday at the Corner Ballpark Cut 9.
So as a kid, I did dream of this. I set my goals. I went after it. I got it. I'm here. I'm ready for the moment. I've been prepared mentally for it, and obviously physically I put myself in a position to do it.
That was Caleb Williams, of course. We're supposed to see 3 quarterbacks go in those first 3 picks, maybe 6 quarterbacks total going very early as things get underway here at 7 o'clock in downtown Detroit.
Futures will be changed for so many young men here.
Yeah, I mean, this is it. And some of them don't know where they're going. How exciting for them that they get to find out tonight.
Indeed. When we come back, Mark Hollis, former MSU Athletic Director, now, of course, Chief Operating Officer for Rock Ventures and host of JR Sunday here on AM 760. That's when we come back. Time for our WJR Business Beat, brought to you by Shelving.com. We rack your world. Let's check in with the founder and CEO of Startup Nation, Jeff Sloan. Good morning.
Good morning, Guy, Lloyd, Jamie. One of the best tools in any business's toolbox is having a strong loyalty program. Why? Well, on the surface of it, it's a way to reward your best and most loyal customers, your regulars, that is. You can reward them with promotional offerings, deals, discounts, etc., of course, but it goes much deeper than that. The typical quid pro quo for offering loyalty programs to customers is that you, the business, get their contact information and the ability to contact them regularly. And that puts you in position to engage them not only with offers, but also with other content as well, such as informative newsletters that showcase your expertise, that draw them in and engage them, ultimately leading to doing more business with your company. You see, if you've got a customer that's opted into your loyalty program, you have the opportunity to not only engage and activate the most loyal customers to spend again, in addition, you have the opportunity to gain vital insights into your shoppers' behaviors. How do your customers view the value of being part of select loyalty programs with their favorite businesses? Well, research from Payments, an online newsletter study conducted last year, the 2023 Global Digital Shopping Index, makes it clear that the ability to use and earn digital rewards is a high priority for many shoppers. Specifically, 6% of consumers cited rewards as the digital shopping feature they demand above all others, and another 35% said they consider rewards to be very or extremely important when it comes to making a purchase decision with a retailer. So if you're a business, make sure you've got a simple, straightforward loyalty program in place and optimize its use to engage, activate, and to better understand the behaviors of your best customers in order to tap the best source of revenue a business has, that from your most loyal customers. I'm Jeff Sloan, founder and CEO of StartupNation.com, the source for everything you need to start and grow your own business. And that's today's Business Beat on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, WJR.
Motown is all set to host the NFL Draft 2024. The excitement, the anticipation, all palpable. From today through the 27th, Detroit will be at the center of the football paradise as the 32 NFL teams converge on Detroit to select the next generation of gridiron talent. Beyond the spectacle of the event itself, organizers envision a lasting legacy for Detroit, one that extends far beyond this three-day extravaganza. And it's great to welcome on the JR Morning Live line Mark Hollis, COO for Rock Ventures and host of JR Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. on WJR. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. The sun has come up on day one, and we're ready to go.
You know, it's been a lot of planning, a lot of collaboration, but it all culminates today. You got to be proud of the city, and you got to give kudos to your boss, too, because Dan Gilbert has played a big part in this as well. He's got so much other things going on, but he still made sure this is going off, too.
No, Dan's very excited. Last night sort of kicked off some of the festivities downtown, and people were excited. This morning already the sun's come up, not too many folks downtown yet, but it's going to change in just a couple hours.
Mark, we were just talking about how serendipitous it is that the Lions have this amazing season last year, 30 minutes away from the Super Bowl, so the excitement is great for the team, and then this happens in our town.
That's right. I think there's a combination of many things that are going on, not only fantastic season of the Lions, the University of Michigan, winning the national championship, having so many of their guys that are going to be waiting anxiously as the picks are coming along throughout the opening rounds. There's just so many good things that are happening right now. And I think the other important thing is this is 3 days, but it's really the launch of things to come. There are so many exciting things happening in this city. It's the legacy of this event that I'm really anxious to watch for and see what it brings to Detroit in the months and years to come.
Mark, one of the NFL officials was talking yesterday, and she just kind of gave her perspective of walking around Detroit and the venue footprint and said, you guys have so many of these great vintage buildings. Your architecture here is mind-blowing. And she said, we haven't had this event in that kind of an urban environment where you have all of this great old architecture. Let's be clear. None of that happens without Dan Gilbert preserving the First National Building, the Book Building, the Tower.
There's no doubt. When you think about it, 14 years ago is not that long ago, and we all recall what this city looked like during the Super Bowl and the fact that Roger Penske, you know, had the paintbrush out clean facades on many of the buildings that are now vibrant downtown. But 14 years ago, while many businesses are looking to be out of urban areas, Dan made the unusual call of, I want to go downtown. I want to keep talent in the city. Talent likes to stay in urban areas. They're moving to Atlanta. They're moving to Chicago. Let's keep them here. And that decision, that move, has really changed. We all remember the days of the Major League Baseball All-Star, the Super Bowl, the final and closing tours. We're starting to see people from the outside choose Detroit again. What's been fun for me to watch the organizers from the NFL and the NCAA come in with a perception and look around. And what I tell them all is exactly what you said, is look up. You know, while you're walking the streets, look up at the amazing building structures, architecture. It's an incredible city if you really take time to look, enjoy, embrace, and that's what these organizers are doing, and they're bringing their biggest events to Detroit. They're making that choice.
They're all, you know, and what's also big, though, too, Mark, is that a lot of companies, as you said, people are moving back down to Detroit, coming back to Detroit, but a lot of companies have brought their headquarters down here, so that also lends itself to, you know, the great excitement in the city.
No, it's very much become a live, work, and play. You know, that's a moniker that we use, but it's really become that. Is people are living downtown. Businesses were extremely strong in the entrepreneurial, in the technology world. We're redefining ourselves in so many ways, and it's a definition that I think all of us that live here are very proud of.
Mark, we have a minute left. Take us into, there was a big party last night. Who
yeah.
was here? Who's who?
How was the Jelly Roll Jam?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jelly Roll was in town, kind of popped in real quick, and excellent show that they had. There was a great gathering at Gilly's, which is one of the nicest little bars I've been to in a long, long time. Has four different vibes, and the governor, the mayor, everyone was in town. Everyone had smiles. We're excited about that. The commissioner, we had him on the show Sunday, and I loved his embrace of booze. Like, he loves that booze. So we're going to smile and boo at him and have a great time here starting tonight.
Well, Mark Hollis, Chief Operating Officer of Rock Ventures, host of JR Sunday from 8 to 10, and he'll also be hosting JR Afternoon today and tomorrow here from the NFL Draft. It's always great to talk with you, Mark.
Keep those seats warm. We'll see you very soon.
All right. Coming up 7:35, Mike Tirico, NBC host and member of the Detroit Sports Organization Corporation. He'll be here after this.
And Jamie.
It is Thursday, April 25th, a date that has been circled, starred, and magnified for the better part of more than a year. Yes, it is 37 degrees in downtown Detroit. That's 4 degrees Celsius, which is why everybody hates Celsius. It sounds so much colder. But it is the dawn of a new day, and dawn has broken.
Oh, man.
We are in full sunshine here on Woodward Avenue. A lot of this made possible through a lot of great Detroiters who stepped up as members of the Detroit Sports Organizing Corporation to put all of this together, to plant this seed. And it is blossoming before our eyes. Among them, you know him better as the Swiss Army knife of NBC Sports, the guy that does it all. Mike Tirico joining us live this morning. Michael, happy draft day.
And right back at you and to everyone in town. It's a great day, the day that has been long discussed. Good to finally have it here, for sure.
You know, you talk about planning, logistics, and detail. Looking at the transformation of downtown Detroit, you were there when this was just a germ of an idea. Just give me your impression of what has happened since, thanks to corporate sponsors, corporate leadership, and a lot of imaginative people.
For sure, yeah. I've been downtown the last 3 days, and just to watch the last 3 days of build is so exciting. To run into people walking downtown last evening who are from different parts of the country who've come for the draft, that's the whole idea of it. Yeah, it was the Detroit Sports Commission along with the Lions. You know, you need an NFL team, obviously, to not just host but also kind of carry the weight inside the offices of the NFL with the conversation to have the draft. And the Sports Commission has always been trying to put ideas out there to get big sporting events to Detroit. And this was one of them, and the seed started 6-7 years ago. Full credit to Rod Wood and the Lions and Sheila Hamp and everyone over there for really carrying that with the league. And then, like you said, Guy, all the local businesses as well in the city. And to have everybody together for this party is really exciting. A lot of folks will be watching from around the country, and Detroit will look great on the national spotlight this evening.
Mike, you emceed, I believe, a couple of days ago as a part of the Detroit Sports Commission Living Legacy Program, where, you know, a lot of community organizations received in excess of $1 million for programming. Talk about that.
Lloyd, I'm glad you brought that up because it's such a big part of this overall. The Sports Commission, and we have several members who really have driven this bus, they really wanted to make sure there was a legacy left. So when the tent comes down and the big top comes down and everybody's gone next week, there were a couple of impacts. One, that local businesses were touching the draft and a part of what was happening here. That's happened. And the bigger one is to leave a community legacy. So donations to youth programs, whether it's sports or other related, but mostly in the sports vein, to get young people in the city of Detroit the opportunity to play different sports. So the draft has a legacy beyond maybe a small park or something like that. And to full credit of everyone involved, that really has happened. And Monday we were at the corner, and to be able to be there and see all of these groups that were being impacted by the draft coming to town and the pulling together of the entire community, it was really, really fulfilling, I think, for everybody part of the Sports Commission. And I'm so glad that people are hearing that this is not just a three-day, have a good time, then we're out of here. There'll be some legacy to this draft in Detroit going forward.
Mike, draft question of the prospects who will be walking across that stage. Do you think it'll be quarterback-dominated?
It should be, Jamie. I mean, when you think about it, that is the position that is the one everyone's trying to figure out. And what do you see? When you get one, you have a chance to win. Look at Jared Goff. Matthew Stafford made the Lions a playoff team once after they drafted him, right? And then helped win the Super Bowl with the Rams. Look at Patrick Mahomes. He's the difference maker. So you need one, right? You have to have one. Here's the problem. There'll probably be certainly three of the top three or four, probably five in the first round, somewhere in that neighborhood. It's a 50-50 proposition. It all sounds great on draft night, but historically for the last 25 years, first-round drafted quarterbacks, do they hit? Are they the guy to take you to the playoffs and beyond? It's about a 50-50 proposition. So you hope that the teams who do it get it right. For Lions fans, the good news is they're not in that business this year.
Mike, we've got some Michigan guys that will be going across that stage as well. Who's going to make us proud tonight?
Maybe a record number from one school.
Yeah.
Could very well be. I think the most intrigue will be with J.J. McCarthy for all the obvious reasons, right? Because of how he played. He's not the top quarterback in this class, but there are teams that see so many good things. They think he could be their franchise guy. And there are teams that say, I'm not sure. I haven't seen him. Well, how's he going to be throwing the ball over the middle? I haven't seen him carry a team for 40 passes in a game very often. It was mostly a run-based team. I think there's a lot of intrigue with J.J. He's a right situation guy. Go to the wrong team, it doesn't work. Go to the right team where you can develop a little bit, then I think it works. I'll tell you the one guy, I won't be day one, but Mikey Samer still, the defensive back from Michigan. I'm excited to see where he gets drafted because I think that's a guy who's going to be an impact player in the NFL right away.
Mike, could you have written a better script with the Lions doing so well this past year and then the draft being held here in the city of Detroit?
No, Lloyd, it all comes together, right? We don't have to think too far back in our memories to think of a city that was bankrupt, a city that when the Super Bowl came, Roger Penske and the organizing committee were out there trying to spruce up Woodward with everything from painting empty storefronts. And now you fast forward to where this is. So full credit to all the people in the corporate space who brought downtown alive, starting with Dan Gilbert, the Illiches, teams coming downtown, all of that. And then the parallel is the football team's been really good. It's funny that you have draft night, and we've been saying, well, Detroit's on the clock in terms of hosting the draft. Usually Detroit's on the clock in the first hour of the draft. Tonight, right. it'll be like 11:30. Everybody's talking about going downtown. I told Rod Wood, the president of the Lions, they did such a solid for the local businesses because people come to the draft. They can go to a restaurant, have dinner, then stroll back casually because the Lions aren't going to pick till like 11 o'clock if they pick at all in the first round. That's a spot where you could easily trade out and get more draft capital later on. So it's great to see that. And the city, the way it looked during those playoff games that we did on NBC, the way people will see it on NFL Network and ESPN tonight across the country. If you watch football, and it's most of our country, you get a great feeling about Detroit. What a lucky time for all of us to see this come together.
As we said, there's a big star on this state. There has been for a long time. But your calendar has to be kind of crowded. You've got the U.S. Open. You've got the Preakness, the Kentucky Derby. And then I got to ask you, how's your French?
It's getting better. I was in Paris last week. It is in ready mode and watching another city build for a big event. We're now 93 days from the Olympics. Yes, I do keep count every day. 94. It's an exciting time for sure. A busy and a great summer, but it'll culminate with the Olympics. And I must say, after the last two COVID and no fans, we are all excited to see Paris shine, much like hopefully Detroit will shine tonight.
Who do you think the emerging athlete will be? The new FloJo?
Yeah.
Carl Lewis?
No doubt, Guy. I think you talk about those two names, and those are the two I was going to go with. Noah Lyles for the men, Sha'Carri Richardson for the women. They could both win the 100 meters. That's the title of fastest man or fastest woman in the world.
Yeah.
The last time the U.S. had both of those at the same time, 1988. And both of them have great personalities. I think track and field will have a great Olympics for Team USA and part of a very good team all the way across the board. We're so used to swimming, gymnastics, Simone Biles, Katie Ledecky, those names. But I think track, you're going to see some stars really develop in these games.
Well, we appreciate your service on the Detroit Sports Organizing Corporation and being such a great ambassador for Southeast Michigan, Mike. And we can't wait to see the coverage 93 days from now. And find a gross of energy drinks there, buddy. You're going to need it.
We will. I'm going to enjoy tonight. After doing the draft on TV for 15 or 16 years, it's really nice to do these because nobody lies to you and tells you, hey, we're really interested in this guy. And they're just trying to put some bad information in the system. So I'm looking forward to being downtown all day and enjoying the city and watch the city take hopefully a victory lap this weekend. And thanks to all you all are doing on JR this week
all
for
right.
promoting this event.
Yeah, we love you, buddy. Thanks very much. Have a great time.
You all too. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
All right. When we come back, the wants and the needs for the Detroit Lions. We'll be talking to Tim Twentyman at 7:49 on JR Morning. You know, you can count on Consumers Energy to lead the clean energy transformation, ensuring that you have access to reliable, affordable energy that protects our natural resources for generations to come. Small, meaningful changes to how we use energy can make a really big impact to help preserve Michigan's natural beauty that we all love and the energy reliability that we all need. Learn more about how Consumers Energy is protecting our state and leading Michigan's clean energy transformation at consumersenergy.com/clean energy. Man, that sunshine feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say welcome back to Woodward Avenue, where the sun is now shining on day one of the NFL draft in downtown Detroit.
And I think it just made it feel 20 degrees warmer.
Yeah, thank goodness, because we're a little chilly here, but we're happy to be here. You know, the Lions may not make a pick until about 11:30, if they make one at all, but they certainly made a splash yesterday when they inked deals with Penei Sewell and Amon-Ra St. Brown worth more than $230 million. That's where I'm going to start with Tim Twentyman, senior writer for DetroitLions.com. Good morning, Tim.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
You know, they made a splash the day before the first day of the draft when they signed these guys to long-term deals.
Yeah, and really it was expected, and I think that's the formula that you want if you're the Detroit Lions, right? You draft guys, you develop them, they become one of the best players at their position in the league, and then you pay them. And that's the model. That's how it should go. And, you know, it's something that I think Lions fans probably aren't really used to. You know, they're used to players leaving, signing big contracts elsewhere, or guys not getting to that big second deal. And, look, Brad Holmes has proven that he can draft, and Campbell and his staff have proven they can develop, and Penei Sewell and Amon-Ra St. Brown are two great examples of that.
Or worse, you've got guys that feel slighted, and then they kind of become maybe disaffected guys in the clubhouse, which you don't need that either.
No, that's a good point, because I think what this shows everybody in that locker room is that if you come here, if you put your head down, if you go to work and you perform, this, or you know, this franchise, this organization, this executive group will pay you. And you know, that's all you want. You want to feel valued. You come and you do your work, you want to get paid for it. And I think that's going to reverberate through the locker room, those two deals.
Obviously, there's one big guy that we need to know about.
Right.
That's Jared Goff.
Are they going to pay him?
Yeah, I would expect it. You know, those quarterback deals sometimes get pretty complicated. You're talking about the biggest money contracts in the league. You obviously wanted to do these two, get them done with. And I think the focus will now shift over to Jared. I would be shocked if something doesn't get done. That's not to say it will, but, you know, usually you see some of those deals get done in the summer, in training camp right before the season. That would be my expectation for Jared as well.
What do you think happens with pick number 29 tonight? Do you think the Lions make it or trade down?
Yeah, you know, there's three options, right? They can move up, they can pick it at 29, and they can move back, and I think all three are on the table. I think, you know, Brad Holmes is in a great spot. This is the best roster that he's had, you know, going into a draft in his tenure here. And I think he can kind of let the draft come to him at that point. You know, he doesn't have to reach for a position, not that he does anyways, but he can just trust his board, take the best player. You know, I think if one of those cornerbacks start to fall a little bit, you know, this is an offensive draft. We're going to see lots of quarterbacks, lots of offensive tackles, lots of wide receivers. If some of those cornerbacks or pass rushers or defensive players start to move back, I could certainly see a situation where he wants to move up. I could also see him just standing pat, taking, you know, somebody, the best player on his board at 29, or if there's a group of players that are, you know, similarly graded, you know, 5 to 10 players, he gets an offer to move back early into the second round, gain another day two pick. I could see that happening too. So, look, Brad's in a great spot. The roster's in a great spot. You look at it, there's not a ton of holes. So he could just really let this draft come to him.
What do you think our biggest need is? Is it the cornerback position?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
What would you divine that our biggest need is? Is it the cornerback position where we've had – there's been some skills deficits there.
Yeah, you know, I would say they obviously, you know, made the trade for Carlton Davis. They signed up Meek Robinson. Emmanuel Mosley, they re-signed some of their own. But, you know, I'd say if you look at the depth there, I think cornerback is a spot that they need. You know, I think a sneaky one, guys, is defensive tackle, too. You obviously have Liam McNeil. You have B.J. Reader. But behind that is, you know, some guys that have been questionable or, you know, some young guys like a Broderick Martin, who they're hoping takes a big step forward, but a little unproven. And then I would say safety, too. You've got, you know, Kirby Joseph of Fati Melifonwu, but you only have one other safety in Brandon Joseph on the roster. So there's some sneaky needs there. You've really got good starters all around, and I think this draft is about building depth, and I think cornerback is one spot where you can certainly see them do that. Brad has selected a cornerback in mm-hmm. every draft so far as the Detroit Lions GM, and I would expect that to continue.
Well, the Lions have 7 picks, starting with 29 tonight. Thank you, Tim Twentyman, senior writer for DetroitLions.com.
Hey, listen, our pick is already in, and Detroit got the first pick when we were picked more than a year ago to host this draft. Downtown could not be more alive, more vibrant, more electric with the branding, the colors, the graphics, the lighting. The Dodge Fountain that is actually a fountain.
Working.
The People Mover with new wrapping on that. No squeaks. Great new signage down here that will benefit everybody from years to come. It's just cool.
It's cool, and the sun is shining on this morning of day one of the draft, and that just adds to the beauty of what we're looking at.
And it will be overrun with people very soon. And prepare your way down here. Talk about how you're going to get down here before you get down here, because the traveling, you know, and getting around is not all that easy.
It's going to be an inconvenience.
A lot of options, though.
It's a cool sacrifice to reintroduce Detroit to the world. I got to tell you, this NFL One Pass app really is the go-to. It's going to help you figure out where you want to be in the footprint. By all means, if you've got kids, check out the NFL experience. Check out and you know, do the 40-yard dash, do the vertical leap, do it all, and just savor everything that there is, because there are activations everywhere. But you're going to need a strategy and a plan once you get down here.
But we've been talking about how you could be in Dearborn. You could be at Great Lakes Crossing. You could park there and get one of these buses that are bringing people downtown and then take the people mover. So make your plan, but there are ways to do it cheaply and easy.
When you were at the NFL experience.
Yes.
We got the 40-yard dash there, a cool thing where you can figure out your vertical leap, see whether you can best Derrick Henry. I'd like to see Calvin Johnson try that.
Right.
So there were a lot of skills, tests, things like that. But the Detroit Lions experience was super fun. You can kind of you can get behind a mannequin and try on one of the new jerseys.
Yes.
By the way, you were rocking that black jersey.
Oh, I love the black. Actually, I don't have one of the new ones, but I do have a throwback black jersey on right now.
Oh, you
well,
do?
There you
yeah.
Go.
Yeah. So, yeah, and what I didn't get a chance to do that people will enjoy is the touchdown dance. You know, I didn't get a chance to do the touchdown dance where they video you. You
oh,
know,
yeah, they have this 360 camera,
yeah.
And you can come up with your own touchdown
dance. I didn't get a chance to do
I
that.
I may have broken the camera with my touchdown dance. Probably best before our guests arrive that I not try that. They do have you, though, if you want to do kind of a mock touchdown catch.
Yes.
For kind of like a highlight shot.
Mine was one-handed, was smiling in the camera.
Yes, I know. You took your eye off the ball.
The point is, there is this tent where you can do some fun things with your kids. It's called the Detroit Lions Experience. You could go to Hart Plaza where the NFL experience is, where you could see Super Bowl rings. You could do a bunch of things.
The Vince Lombardi trophy is
there. Yeah, the trophy is there. Yeah. I took a video of it. I go, one day, Lions fans.
That's
one
right.
One day.
Yeah, yeah. And you can't miss the Detroit Lions experience because it looks like a mock-up of Ford Field.
A Ford Field, yeah. It does. Yeah.
So it is very cool. Lots to see, lots to do. But you're going to be proud of your city when you come down here because it looks great. I will say this. You are going to feel a little bit like a rat in a maze because of the way they are trying to control the flow of people.
Yeah.
So be prepared. You're going to have to do some around, you know, a little jog around some buildings and things. Wear comfortable shoes.
Yes, and there are certain places where you can enter the footprint, where you use your OnePass app and you go through security. There are certain spots. So it's all online. Every information you need is online. So just look it up before you come down. That's it.
But do come with a strategy. Just one of the headlines that's topping our news this morning. TikTok is on the clock now. The President Biden signing that bill yesterday that basically gives ByteDance 9 months to divest itself from the Chinese Communist Party. There could be an extension of that. FBI Director Christopher Wray talking to Lester Holt a night ago, talking about that TikTok doesn't pose just one danger to our national security. It's actually three in one. Cut two, please.
TikTok, for us, represents a national security concern. And the reason I say that is that TikTok's parent company is beholden to the Chinese government. So that, for us, manifests itself in three specific ways. It has to do with the data. It has to do with the recommendation algorithm. It has to deal with the software. The data, we're talking about the ability to control or collect data on millions and millions of users and to use it for all sorts of influence operations, like driving their AI efforts, which are not remotely constrained by the rule of law.
Are they doing that now, or that's simply they have the capability to do that?
What I would say to you is that they are currently attempting to steal our AI and hack American technology every day.
And they're doing more than that. They're distorting our view of the world. The New York Times, the Wall Street Journal collected data on the content that you would see on Instagram or Meta.
Okay.
And then compared it to the subjects that you would see on TikTok. The algorithm is already suppressing Chinese. Anything negative about China is already suppressed. So in terms of, for instance, Instagram, a pro-Israel message, only 16% of the pro-Israel content you would see on Instagram will you see on TikTok. They're suppressing it. Pro-Ukraine, 12%. Anything about the Uyghurs, good luck.
Right.
The South China Sea and the military installations there. The Hong Kong protests, you wouldn't even know they exist.
Right. So this is what we're talking about when you talk about national security. Yes, TikTok can be fun. It can help your business. But that doesn't mean the internet is shutting down. This
right.
is more important, I think, than what you can find on TikTok.
You can
India,
have somebody really, like, watching you at all times.
Yeah. And India banned TikTok 2 years ago. They had 30 more million users than we did. They had 200 million users. And you know what happened? They just migrated because it became an opportunity for
someone
Google,
else to come
an
in.
Opportunity for Meta.
Yeah.
Others came in,
that's right.
filled the gap with these short videos, and you know what? Those folks just found their business thriving on a different platform other than TikTok.
Correct.
So it can be done. The world will not end. If you've got a TikTok user, tell them the world is not ending.
Right. So we're around the corner from the draft theater. This is where lives will be changed. I think we should hear from who we all believe to be the top three picks. So Jason cut 9, 10, and 11.
So as a kid, I did dream of this. I set my goals. I went after it. I got it. I'm here. I'm ready for the moment. I've been prepared mentally for it, and obviously physically I put myself in a position to do it.
I think you always dream about coming here and coming to, you know, walk across the stage and be with commissioner. So I think it's something I couldn't turn down. It was a no-brainer for me.
But wherever I go, man, you know, I'm just blessed. So it's not really where I want to play. I don't have a choice in this. So, you know, I'm just blessed to hear my name. That's all.
That's Caleb Williams, that's Drake May, and that's Jaden Daniels. Those should be the first three quarterbacks chosen in this draft, starting with the Chicago Bears picking Caleb Williams at number one. But, you know, this will be a quarterback-driven draft. I mean, what will happen after those three are picked? You know, it's anyone's guess. Where will, you know, Michael Penix go? Where will J.J. McCarthy go? We don't know quite yet because, you know, there are all these algorithms of what could happen with, you know, all these picks. But I think it's going to be fun. It's where lives are changed, where they walk across that stage and find out their future. And I just think it's so great.
Well, it's what's cool is to see who will be the next big thing. Right?
Yes.
And we've watched Aiden Hutchinson grow into this impact player and what a difference that made to this team in that city. Don't know that we can do something on that scale at 29. What we do know is the economic impact is going to be huge.
Yeah, the 2024 draft kicking off in Detroit, making a monumental moment for the city. The governor expressing her excitement, calling it a significant chapter in Detroit's narrative, comparable to the Super Bowl hosted in 2006, joined by key figures like Visit Detroit's Claude Molinari and NFL's Peter O'Reilly. Discussions on draft day economics highlighted the potential economic impact, estimated between $175 million and $200 million. Molinari anticipating a surge in visitors, possibly surpassing previous records. The event signifies a seven-year vision of city leaders to rejuvenate Detroit's image. And Detroit Councilmember Fred Durhall III emphasized the city's transformation, inviting visitors to witness its safety and vibrancy. Looking ahead, Detroit gears up to host the NCAA Men's Final Four in 2027 with plans to attract international investments. And while the return of the Super Bowl remains uncertain, the focus now is on making the next 3 days unforgettable and showcasing Detroit's charm.
We beat the Kansas City Chiefs last year in the first game of the season. We want to beat them as an NFL city as well. They had 312,000 visitors.
We can do it.
We're going to beat that.
Oh, yeah.
When we come back, we got Mayor Mike Duggan stopping by at 8:35. But before then, we'll check in with Yahoo Sports national columnist Dan Wetzel next on JR Morning.
As we bask into the sun and the glow of the NFL draft here in downtown Detroit, we welcome in Dan Wetzel.
He has been a Yahoo Sports national columnist since 2003, covering events and stories around the globe. He's also a New York Times bestselling author and host of the Yahoo Sports College podcast. Dan Wetzel joins us here on the JR Morning Live Line. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We are doing well. You wrote a story recently, and you said that basically that the NFL draft has a dual purpose here. It's a showcase not only for the players, but also for Detroit and its progress.
Well, yeah, certainly. You're talking about hours and hours and hours of live television for both ESPN, ABC, and the NFL Network. This is going to be a hugely watched event. You know, tens of millions of people will watch it. So the visuals of downtown Detroit, I don't think it's a coincidence. They just basically tucked this draft like, on a street corner right in the middle of downtown Detroit to showcase it. But the ability for people around the country and around the world to see the downtown that Detroit has become, like actual shiny new buildings and, you know, the architecture, the crowds will be enormous, the restaurants in the streets, the storefronts, all of that, the progress that I think we all know is that downtown has made. I don't know how you calculate the value on that in terms of marketing and promotion. And then you have the people coming in from out of town or even just outside the city of Detroit, the suburbs, or farther out in the state of Michigan or Ohio that are just driving in that don't normally or normally wouldn't spend a lot of time walking around Detroit, taking it in, and they're going to maybe get a different impression of the city. Obviously, this place has come a long, long way in 5, 10, even 1 year. Every year, it makes some progress. So, enormous opportunity for the city to tell its story, show people what not only what it isn't, but what it is.
You used the word marketing, and this is an amazing marketing miracle. I mean, this is basically an accounting process for these teams. How do you think this became such a spectacle, such a made-for-TV event? Was it the advent of reality television and manufactured drama? What was it that took this thing from being a kind of irrelevant exercise to this mega event?
Yeah, I mean, they used to run this in a ballroom of a hotel in New York City, right?
Big deal.
Nothing is happening here. The only action or two is Roger Goodell shaking someone's hand. And after, like, the first 13 guys, there won't even be anyone to shake their hand. The players won't even be here. So it's a TV show with very little action, very little. But it's become this huge thing. First off, the speculation on who's going to get picked, ESPN looking for programming, just went crazy with Mel Kiper and started covering this like it's its own sport. People, obviously, the popularity of football has increased every single year. And then they moved it to Radio City Music Hall in New York, and they had a small crowd, but it was mainly still a TV event. But you had these Jets fans and some Eagles fans screaming and cheering, and that kind of became a thing. And then in 2015, they moved it out of New York, and by, I think, 18, they were in Philadelphia. And the people in Philadelphia, 17 or 18, they had the genius idea of putting in a park outside and letting fans come. And about 50, 60,000 fans came to watch, which is really nothing to see. There's literally nothing to see at this event. And the scene was so exciting. All of a sudden, every city wanted this, and they wanted it for what Detroit's going to have. It's a big party. It's an opportunity to get out. It's something to do on a spring weekend. And it's a great way to say, hey, look at our city.
I mean, we saw fans walking down the street. We saw some Bengals fans and I believe Giants fans at 6:42 in the morning heading in the direction of the theater for, I think, the standing room only spot. I mean, people won't know the names as the draft continues on in the later rounds, but this is the power of the NFL.
It is. It's all encompassing. They've turned this thing into... the NFL does a great job of staggering their little events. So you have a Super Bowl, and then you have a talent combine, which again is like guys lifting weights and running 40-yard dashes. Nothing really is happening, but that thing gets watched bigger than like our the World Track and Field Championships, right? It has bigger numbers for that. Then they have free agency. Then they have this. Then they'll have the start of mini camps, and then they'll do training camps. The NFL is genius at the slow build up to the season, and then as it goes. So every month of the year, there's something big. Other than the Super Bowl, this is their single biggest production. It's not as big of an event as a lot of the games, certainly the playoffs. But in terms of what you could host, other than getting the Super Bowl, which they don't want to bring back to Detroit anytime soon, this is the best thing you can get.
Well, Dan, I know, were you here for the 2006 Super Bowl?
I was.
So part of your article of the transformation was you personally can see the difference.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they wrapped, I think, the Cadillac building or some of the empty buildings that with, like, advertising to make it look like that was done on purpose when it was really just hiding an empty building, right? They had to demolish buildings.
Fake facades.
Yeah.
They did everything except put mannequins inside to make it look there were people there.
Fake storefronts. Like, Roger Penske was like, I mean, it was a Pokemon village out there. And it worked. Super Bowl went off fine. But, you know, I think if you want nothing else on the progress, they didn't have to do that this time, right?
Right.
Like, the buildings are full. Or if they're not, they don't look like they're about to fall over. And obviously some of the buildings are getting filled in. And obviously, there's a long way to go. There's plenty of, you want to build a skyscraper, we've got plenty of room. You can find a spot. But some of them are going in. I think, like, those cranes over the Hudson Tower and all of that are going to make people see Detroit a little bit of a different view.
All right, Dan Wetzel, national columnist for Yahoo Sports. We thank you for being here and being on JR Morning.
We are the center of the football universe, and we are also going to be the center of the media universe. There are going to be a lot of lights, a lot of cameras, a lot of drones.
Yes.
Hovering over this city, giving you beauty shots that you've never seen before. And there'll be shots you've never seen before because I've got to say, I don't think the city has ever looked more beautiful or more alive in terms of the color and the eye candy. And a lot of that is due to the gentleman that's sitting across from me. We welcome in the mayor of the great city of Detroit, Mike Duggan. You're a vision guy. Did you ever visualize this?
But again, I was a kid who grew up here. This is what Detroit looked like when I was a kid. You came downtown, and it was magical. You know, you go down to Hudson's Saunders and the movie theaters. But, you know, when I started talking about blight to beauty about 5 years ago, people laughed at me. Nobody comes down here laughing anymore. It is spectacular.
So many articles are being written about Detroit in the Super Bowl time of 2006 to now and the transformation. And you were a part of the 2006 committee that brought the Super Bowl here. I mean, the change is just astronomical.
Well, in 2006, the Super Bowl host committee was a force of Roger Penske's personality. He just took it over and managed every detail himself. But, you know, I walked the sidewalks of Woodward with him in 2006 as part of the host committee with all those empty buildings. And Roger says, we're going to paint these so they look like there's stores inside. I said, that's crazy. But he did it. He didn't want out-of-towners to walk down Woodward and feel really bad for us. Now I go down the streets with Roger and all of these businesses. God, it was at Gilly's yesterday that Dan Gilbert just opened up at Woodward at Grand Circus Park. Four stories, sports bar. It's going to be fabulous. Then I went over to Paradise Valley, and Denny Archer opened Vinyl Source, his new bar, and it is spectacular. So it's hard to even keep track of all the new things that are coming.
And when we arrived at 5 a.m., I mean, Lloyd and I were saying, we remember when we were just kids on the beat in this town, there were no lights in any of these windows.
This morning
we sat here and I took a shot. I mean, the whole place was alive.
It is amazing. And a big part of it is, of course, the people who have moved here. You know, when I was out of law school and working down the Penobscot building, literally 5:30 at night, everybody was gone home. There was nobody on the street and nobody lived in Detroit. Now, the way that David Whitney's been converted, the way that David Stott's been converted, downtown's a neighborhood. And it is busier nights and weekends right now than it is during weekdays. We got to get the offices back to work. But it's exciting to have a downtown that's a neighborhood.
You expect to have people who visit from out of town take that second look at the city and say, hey, maybe this might be a place I want to live and play.
You know, these kids are so mobile now. They're talented ones. They can go anywhere, and they're, you know, Silicon Valley, Miami, Austin have gotten extremely expensive. And so I think we could look at talent coming here. Of course, I would love to see the Detroiters, our best kids, come back after school and stay here. But you also could see businesses who come through here and say, I never really thought about Detroit as a location. I think they'll come out of this week thinking that way.
Well, the Wall Street Journal had a piece that this is like Miami. This is like Vegas because there's an entertainment hub for people. There's stuff to do.
Tuesday and Wednesday, it was the most read story in the Wall Street Journal.
Wow.
It was about Detroit's comeback.
Wow. Well, I opened the New York Times today, and they wrote nice stuff about Detroit. So, and the thing I like the best is I was in Kansas City a year ago, and you turned on talk radio, and everybody was complaining that the Kansas City companies hadn't gotten any of the work. The people outfitting the green room came from Minnesota. You open the New York Times today, and it's all the Detroit businesses talking about the restaurants. 25 will be open up on Hart Plaza today. But there was a company who outfitted the green room, African-American woman from Detroit. We were so intentional, and the NFL and the Lions were such great partners, that we did something other cities hadn't done. We demanded the Detroit companies get the work, and now they have this on their resumes for the rest of their lives.
Is that the 10-year legacy, do you think, when 10 years from now, and wherever we all are, is that what we're going to look back on and say that was the seed that was planted and those are the businesses that are the leaders today, where they came from?
Oh, I think that there's no question about it. A lot of our Detroit companies are going to get a chance to shine. But, you know, Guy, think about what's going to happen. In a matter of months, our convention hotel is going to start to get built right next to the Huntington Center. There are many conventions in this country that will not let you bid unless you have a convention hotel attached to the convention center. Oddly enough, Toledo does, and Lansing does, and Grand Rapids does, but Detroit can't bid. Think about what's going to happen when that high-rise convention hotel goes up, and we're going a really good direction because the goal isn't to get their money while they're here for two or three days. Their goal is to make them think about Detroit in their long-term plans.
The train station will be opening up in June.
June
and
6th.
I remember you saying that when that train station opens, you're going to invite media from all across the country to come back and take a look at that because that was the picture on all the newspapers during the bankruptcy.
Every
That's
photographer
all they talked about.
That shot ruin porn.
That's
right?
It. Yeah. Right.
It was the symbol from the beginning. And my first month in office, I tried to get Matt Maroon in to talk about the story. But I told Matt, he had about five things he wanted. I said, I want one thing. You're going to put windows in the train station. And he said, that's crazy. It's going to cost me $1 million. He did it. And once those windows went in,
right,
people said, oh, my God, that building's beautiful. Remember, Cranes hosted that homecoming
dinner.
That's
right.
And that led Bill Ford to say, this could be the center of the design of our autonomous and electric vehicles. But that's what you got to do. But it took that first step of saying, I believe this train station has a future. You're going to have to show people what it can be. You're going to put those windows in. And I've said to Matt Maroon, he made a return several times back over the $1 billion in windows. He did just fine. And the city's doing just fine. And, of course, Roosevelt Park that we built in front of it's going to be the most photographed site in the city of Detroit for years to come.
And downtown, as we say, looks great and everything. But the neighborhoods are coming back too, Mr. Mayor. You got the Avenue of Fashion, Dexter, which is the area I came from over there. It's coming up as well.
Can you believe what's going on over there? And so when I campaigned in 2013, people said to me, when you say every neighborhood has a future, you don't mean Dexter. And I said, yeah, I do mean Dexter. Now, it took us 10 years, but I never gave up on it. But I did the State of the City speech, and the 600 block club presidents in the city who have every day for the last 10 years been beautifying their neighborhoods, putting in parks, planting flowers, cleaning alleys. I think I've been hearing from them. They're finally getting their due. They're so darn tired of being dismissed as the neighborhoods aren't going anywhere. These 600 block club presidents have had a huge effect. Now, we got areas that still need a lot of work.
Sure.
We also have neighborhoods coming back that nobody had really expected.
All right. I know you're an armchair NFL executive as well. Who would you draft tonight?
You know, you remember last year when Brad Holmes took Jahmyr Gibbs and the entire punditry panned him, and we're watching the playoff run as Jahmyr Gibbs takes us to the NFC Championship game. I said, in Brad, I trust. Okay, that's it. We've got the right leadership. Dan Campbell's a great coach, but I tell you, Brad Holmes has been what's really critical to the Lions' turnaround.
Well, you know, the Lions have done their part because sports can bring a focus to a town that maybe other things can't. And the whole country was pulling for the Lions as they went through the playoffs. So
it was really remarkable. Every mayor's conference I went to, the mayors were cheering for their own team first and the Lions second. There was something about 60 years of futility that had people on our side.
We'd have people talking about whatever, like chemicals or whatever on the show, and then at the end they'd go, go Lions. You know?
Chief White has done a great job too, and it's going to be a very safe 2024 NFL draft.
You know, he's going to get his report card Saturday night, but I've been totally impressed by the thoroughness and the preparation of Chief White and the Detroit Police Department. I know how hard it was for me to get in here this morning, so I'm feeling like security is going to be really tight.
Well, you got your Lions gear on. You're looking good. Enjoy the time, and the investment that was put in is already reaping huge dividends.
So. All right. Well, you guys will be warmer tomorrow.
Yes, we will.
We will be. Thank the Lord for that. It's nice of Green Bay to give us a preview of what their draft is going to be like.
Exactly.
It's 8:45 on JR Morning. Thanks to the mayor. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about one of the guys at the Detroit Sports Commission and how they landed this whopper of an event. That's next on JR Morning.
Well, the sun is shining. The tulips are in bloom. Downtown Detroit is ready to welcome the world.
The pansies were looking a little sad this morning.
Look, they're cold just like we are, okay? But it's supposed to rebound a little bit for when people show up to watch the draft this evening. Let's bring in Dave Beach now, Executive Director for the Detroit Sports Commission. First of all, congratulations. Things are looking great. It seems like you guys are ready.
We are, and it's a beautiful day, other than the weather. I mean, beautiful day overall for everyone, and much anticipation for this event, and it's been a long time coming and a lot of work in the process, but we're excited, so let's go.
I mean, is there anything left to do?
Just take it all in. I mean, it's been a labor of love for so many, and that's been the beauty of all of this is the collaboration that's taken place in this community, from the mayor's office to the sports commission, Visit Detroit, Rocket Companies, Detroit Lions, Downtown Detroit Partnership. It's taken so many to get to the point to where we are today. And it's just now time to sit back and just to take it all in and enjoy these 3 days.
You know, Dave, I'm really a community guy, and that community impact is really important when you have such an event like this, because people say, listen, when the NFL comes, when they leave town, then what's left behind? And you guys, that $1 million in nonprofit investments to these community groups is huge.
It really is, and that was, from day one, what we set out to do was a priority for us, and, economic impact is why we exist, of course, but certainly community impact has become equally as important for us as a Detroit Sports Commission. And so to, have the opportunity to have a living legacy, again, as I like to say, when the circus folds up its tents and leaves town, what's left behind? And so, again, a priority. We couldn't be more proud of, the $1 million that we've raised and committed to some worthy organizations. And, this isn't a one and done. This is just the beginning, and it will live through to the Final Four and beyond. And I think that's one of the things that we're most proud of as the Detroit Sports Commission.
It's the little touches, the infrastructure that has to be in place to throw a party like this, Dave. I'm looking at a lamppost that's got all these Verizon boxes on it. You need to have enough cell service down here so people can communicate with the outside world and show them Detroit. Just take us inside some of the logistical stuff that had to be done.
Well, yeah, that's a great point. It's not as if you're just dropping an event into a stadium or an arena, and I think I think some people still think the draft is taking place at Ford Field. And obviously, when you build out a massive structure, a temporary theater with 2,500 seats, and then, you know, the street closures, the disruption of local businesses, all of that taken into consideration, having tens of thousands of people come downtown. And I was out this morning, like I think you guys are now, and there are people lined up waiting to get in at some of the entrances. So, there's a lot that goes into it. And, you know, certainly the NFL and C3, their production company, have done a tremendous job to get to where we are this morning, and can't wait for the gates to open at noon.
Well, and some of the unsung heroes, the businesses that have had to put up with some inconveniences and some disruption, they're all heroes in this as well.
No doubt about it. And they'll, you know, certainly be positively impacted at the end of the day, you know, when you have such an influx of visitors and local residents coming down. They'll find their businesses, and I think that's the nice thing about it, especially the small businesses. It certainly impacts them in a big way.
Well, we are certainly so excited to be down here, to be celebrating this draft, and I'm sure the Detroit Sports Commission, you should just pat yourselves on the back because you guys did it. Now it's time to enjoy. Dave Beach now, Executive Director for the Detroit Sports Commission. Have fun this weekend.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. You guys enjoy as well.
Sure will. You know, take as you're walking around, take note of the corporate sponsors. Take note of the businesses that have done a lot of planning. But also, I would encourage any of you that are visitors to Detroit, you know, take in some of Detroit's jewels, like Greenfield Village. Take a step back in time there.
You got to see Greenfield Village. You need to go see the Motown Museum. This is Motown. You got to go see the Motown Museum while you're here.
You do. I would say that there's some really cool rooftops. And, yeah, it's a little chilly right now, but Detroit is beautiful, and you really get a sense for that on maybe the Monarch Club rooftop or Campers rooftop. So I'd say go, you know, have a little cocktail.
Well, and also we're going to have some great food trucks, things like that. We've got a great food court down in Hart Plaza. But, yeah, to that point, take in some of those rooftop places, but also – we are home to the United Nations of culinary.
Oh.
I mean, we've got Indian restaurants, you know, some great Mediterranean restaurants.
Great Mexican food.
And then you've got the old standbys like the London Chop House and others that you could also savor as well.
They're great restaurants.
Lots
great
to see and lots to do and things to explore.
And great people here, too. Don't forget that. We got great people here.
Yeah, especially folks from the coasts, you're going to find a level of warmth here, if not in terms of temperature, in terms of the people that you do meet.
I saw a guy with a Miami Dolphins, like, little windbreaker on, and he must be cold.
I know. You wanted to take him down to the merch tent, didn't you?
And, right.
And say, you know, pick up a fleece. Well, our coverage will continue throughout the day. We are live from Woodward Avenue all day long. The All Talks, Talk guys are in their woolies, and they will be we'll pass the baton to them.
And download that one pass as well.
That's
download
how you get
that.
In.
You need that. All the information you need. Travel, everything you need.
You need that. You need a plan for transit. You need comfortable shoes, and you need a clear bag. It's the NFL clear bag policy when you come down here. So check all that out at the NFL One Pass. Download it. Take care. We'll see you tomorrow at 6. All Talk is next.